Bible, you can turn to Ephesians 5. I also want to mention when we do Convoy Hope, I can't believe I haven't mentioned it yet, but not only is it food, but it's also clean water. And some of you remember the buckets, and this is what they do. They have a bucket with a filtration system that you could literally go out and scoop up mud puddle water, and this filter cleans it all, and what comes out is perfectly good drinking water, and the filters never run out, they never run old, and as part of the food movement that they do, they also provide clean drinking water to many of the places that we're going to. So what we did 2 years ago, I think, is we had the buckets, we filled them with water, we mixed some mud and dirt and whatnot, and I drank it, and when I got out of the hospital, No, I'm just kidding. That's not true. I didn't go. That's not true. It was fine, but I had people come up afterwards and said, did that water really taste right? And I thought, you know, I robbed people of the opportunity to experience this. And so last year, we made it available for anybody who wanted to come and get some of it and to drink some of it. And many of you did. Several of you did. And whatnot. So we're going to do that again this year. This year, we're going to have water, and we're going to make sure it's nasty. I promise. I'm a, you know, find some Dallas Cowboy memorabilia and mix it in the water. I mean, it's just going to, it's going to have a bad taste in your mouth, but the filter will clean it all out and make it, you know, like a Redskins victory. It'll be nice. It'll be good. Come on. I love it. Well, listen, we are, a week in to our 21-day fast. And I know many of you are doing this, and I want to say thank you, and I want to say congratulations. You know, 6 days, 7 days, almost under the belt, and I think the beginning is often the toughest part, and I want to speak a little hope to you. You know, the first couple of days, you do the headaches, and you do the, why did I do this? I hate my pastor, and I'm like, Steph, you can't talk to me like that, and you know, it can be challenging in the beginning and whatnot, but I want to encourage you to stick with it. I want to encourage you to do it. And the Lord, I think, will bless you, but I also want you to know that the devil will tempt you. Last night, Steph was out, and I was home with the boys, and I fed Ashton, and I said, Chase, what do you want for dinner? And he said, man, I don't know. I'm not super hungry. I'm just kind of hungry. It was one of those conversations with your kids. You're like, I don't even know what that means, you know. And he said, was there bacon in the fridge? And I said, I don't think so. I looked, half a pack of bacon. He's like, Dad, can I have bacon? And he's not doing the fast. And I said, well, yeah. And so I'm in the kitchen. I'm cooking him bacon. My mouth is open. I'm just praying grease will pop. And it will just, you know, just, you know, I put on Facebook that some things are only overcome by prayer and fasting. All right. And so, but in all seriousness, listen, take this time, this 21 days, that really is all about us starting the year well, but also starting the year in Him. And don't just change your diet. It's not just that. It's not about, well, I'd like to lose a couple of pounds. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about changing what we eat, changing what we take in, but filling that time, that place with Christ. And I want to encourage you to have something that you're seeking Him about. Have something that you're going to God about, praying for direction, praying for breakthrough, praying for wisdom, praying for something. Let this be a time of prayer and of fasting with a purpose and with a point towards Him. And I believe that you're going to hear from Him, because if we just change what we eat, but we don't press in for more of Jesus, we're just dieting. And I think God wants more than that for us. Fasting is to deny my flesh of its cravings and give myself further to the Spirit and to press into what God has for me, to seek His face. That's what we're doing. So we're starting the year with a 21-day fast, and we suggest the Daniel fast. That's kind of one that we just kind of every year say, this is what we're going to encourage people to do. It's not a law. I mean, if you're doing a different kind of fast, I think God will still hear you, you know. And there are some, if you're here and you're a vegetarian or a vegan or something like that, and you eat like this anyway, it doesn't count. All right, your fast has to be meat No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But, you know, I've had people come and tell me, you know what, Pastor, one of the things I'm fasting is social media. And, you know, that might seem simple to someone who doesn't do a lot of social media, like Bob. But we're glued to our phones. And typically when Scripture talks about fasting, it is in the reference of food. I don't want to say it's not that. It majority of the time, that is that case. But if that is something that takes a great deal of time from you and focus from you and energy from you, and you're for 21 days going to set that down and give that time and energy to Christ, I think God can move in that and work through that. So find the things that God is asking you to. Maybe it's TV. It can't be homework. All right? That's one. And two, if you're on any kind of medication, please talk to your doctor. I don't want to get a call from an angry spouse saying, you better go see him. You know, I mean, it's just, so please talk to your doctor and make sure you can do this and it's healthy and it's good for you to do, okay? No one, man. Oh, my heavens. So, anyway, listen, this past Sunday we spoke about seasons. And we kind of laid out our theme. Our theme is arise and what that means. And we said sometimes we go through spiritual seasons in our life. And I think a lot of physical things mirror spiritual things. And so in our world, we have winter that we're in now. There's spring, there's summer, and there's fall. And I think we have that same type of thing in our spiritual lives, that there's a spiritual spring, a time of growth, a time when things are happening, things are growing, things are becoming. When you're in a spiritual spring, it's like God says in Isaiah, new things are popping up all around. Don't you see it? And it's just a season in your life spiritually. You just feel good. You feel like it's a time of growth. And we have a spiritual summer that sometimes, you know, in the summer it gets a little dry. It doesn't rain as much as it used to. And spiritual summers can be a little dry, and that's just a time for us in our lives spiritually to dig down, to go deeper in Christ, to go deeper in the things of God, to get our roots down to the core, dig into the Word of God, dig into a small group, dig into a Sunday school. Have personal time that you go after Christ as your own and walk through this process of discipleship and stretching and growing. We have spiritual falls that are a time of harvest, you know, when all the seeds you've planted throughout the year have grown and it's time and you're just beginning to see God answer prayers and answer things and lives are changing. You're seeing God move in your life and it's just a great time to celebrate, and Thanksgiving is time to celebrate what God is doing in your life and not miss a moment. And then we have spiritual winters. They can be tough. Anybody ever gone through a spiritual winter? You ever gone through seems like a wilderness. It just seems like a challenging season in your walk with God, and those can be tough. And they're like a Sabbath time that can feel like a wilderness. And it's in those moments that we need to reflect, and we need to remember who God is and what God has done and what God has done for us. And the important thing is that no matter what season we're in, because I don't believe we're all in the same season all the time, I believe each of our lives can have these seasons. At the same, some of you might be here today and you're in a fall. You're a spiritual fall. You're in a harvest time. And some of you might be in a winter. Some of you might be in a summertime where it's just, hey, I love Jesus and I'm doing the right things. It's just kind of tough. And I realize I got to get my roots down. I got to grow more in Him. And that's okay. Some of you are in a time that everything's new all around you. God's just speaking to you and showing you things. And you're in a spring season. And that's great. We can all be in different seasons. But the common thing is this. We all have to understand what season we're in because each season requires different things from us. And I don't want to miss what God is trying to teach me. I don't want to miss what God is trying to do. And so it's so important that we're aware of the seasons that we're in so that we don't miss it. Because sometimes, we said last week, sometimes there are second chances and sometimes there aren't. And that's just a fact of life. That's just the way that it is. And so it's so important that I understand the season that I'm in and what each one requires of me so that when the moment comes, when the opportunity arises, that I can step into it, even if it's scary, even if it's bigger than me, which most of the time when God has something for you, it's not going to be something you can do alone. But when the moment comes and the opportunity arises that I can step into it and I can be what he desires me to be, I can become what he desires me to become, but I can also receive what he has prepared for me to receive in that moment and in that opportunity. So when we launched our theme this year, we launched the word arise. And arise means to get up, to come into being, to originate. And so we said over the next few weeks, we're going to take a rise and we're going to break it down and we're going to say and look into the scriptures because the scriptures teach us how to live. And we're going to discover what it means to arise and how can I apply that to my life. Our verse is Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Hallelujah. That's a good verse. I don't know if you know that, but that's a good verse. If Gerald were here, he would say, that's my favorite. So this week, we're going to look at A, and we're going to look at the word awaken. Awaken. We have to, if we're going to arise, we have to, if we're going to be what God has called us to be, do what God has called us to do, we have to wake up. And awaken is this, to stir from sleep. And I love this, to spring into being. I love that. We have to awaken, to stir from our sleep, to spring into being, to wake up, to jump into what you were created to be, designed to be, or called to be. And I want to say this, and I'm not going to apologize because it's God's word, but we're just going to kind of get into it. Is that okay? We're just going to get, and I'm going to be very straight up with you. I'm going to be respectful and honoring, but we're just going to eat straight soy today, all right? Here's the thing. I believe that there are people that are in this room today that are a wake-up call away from a breakthrough. It's not that you don't know. It's not that God can't do it. God can do it, and we know God can do anything, but there are parts and areas of our lives that we are sleeping in, and you are a wake-up call away from what only God can do. You don't see it right now, you don't feel it right now, but God has provided it, and it is there, but we can miss it because we're working the same routine. We can miss it because we're stuck in normalcy. I'm telling you, the longer I follow Christ, the more like normalcy feels like a curse word to me. Doing the same thing we've always done over and over and over. I said last week that sometimes our greatest spiritual battles that we may face aren't the ones that push us to the edge, but rather the ones that lull us to sleep. It's the things that make us comfortable. It's the things that say, it's okay. Plenty of time. It's one that says, don't worry about it. Do it tomorrow. Do it next week. Do it next year. Aren't we all, we're in a busy season of life. Aren't we always in a busy season of life? Things that cause us to drift away from being spiritually present. And I think there's a lot of spiritual people who are not always spiritually present. Is that okay to say? Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? Man, do we know the Bible? Yeah, we know scriptures. Man, are we faithful? Sometimes very faithful to church. We're involved in things. We do things. But we're not always spiritually present in the moment, in the opportunity. And we need a wake-up call. Now, y'all remember years ago, long before cell phones came along, when it's hard to, you know, I talk to my kids, and I'm like, I remember when email came out. And they look at me like, did dinosaurs ever chase you? You know, and I'm like, I'm not feeding you anymore. You know, and do you remember when cell phones came out, though, and or before then, when you traveled, you either had to pack a clock. Anyone ever do this? You had to pack a clock. And I always, we did youth missions trips all over the world, and I couldn't imagine doing this now, but I had a wind-up clock that I would bring. I don't think I would try to put a wind-up clock in my bag now. Because if anyone is going to get pulled out of line, it's going to be this guy. And we would do. We would fly in a, you know, I just take the wind-up clock and I'll put it with like shampoo and I'll just tape it together. No good? you'd bail me out, right? She's thinking. All right. Now, and you would go, and that's what I would use on our trips, because you couldn't always trust on the phone system and things. You just, trips went by time. You had to be up at a time, out at a time, going at a time. Things went well. Or you could call the front desk and get what? You get a wake-up call. You would call down and say, hey, can you buzz me at 6:30 or 6 a.m. or whatever time it, you needed to get up. You got a wake-up call, and they would call you to wake you up. And if you traveled with other people, you made sure you knew what rooms they were in, and you would get wake-up calls for their room, like at 2:30 or 3 in the morning. And you know, when I was a youth pastor, you had to do this kind of thing. And they would call you and wake you up, but there are other kind of wake-up calls. You ever had a health wake-up call? You ever had things just going along fine and the phone rings and you answer it and it's your doctor and all of a sudden you've got a wake-up call on the phone? You ever had a relational wake-up call? Things are going along. You thought things were great. You thought things were good. And, you know, hey, listen, bump here or there, but overall we're doing pretty good. And all of a sudden something happens and you've got a wake-up call. An emotional wake-up call. Or all of a sudden you're going through your life, you're going through your day, and there's just a moment, an epiphany, whatever you want to call it. All of a sudden you sit there and you go, God has more for me than this. I don't have to live bound. I don't have to live a lie. I can be free, and I can be free in Christ. You have this moment that happens, financial wake-up calls. Anybody ever had a near-death experience? It's a wake-up call. It is a wake-up call. It's time for you to stop. And you step back from that moment. And when you have something like that that goes off, it triggers these internal awareness things inside of our hearts. And we have a moment of clarity. We have a moment that our eyes are open and our spirit's in tune. And we see it and we feel the entire moment right then. And we have a wake-up call. But the problem is this. Sometimes after we have these things, a little bit of time goes by. And the effects of them can kind of wear off. Doctor says, you got to lose weight. You do really, really good till you leave the office, you know. And you're talking to your wife, eating a Big Mac. He says, I got to lose weight, babe. I've really been trying. Sometimes it wears off. And you know what? The feeling, the emotion, the intensity of that moment of clarity kind of gets muddied again. And we can just slip back into our old way of thinking, our old way of doing things. We can slip back into normalcy. We spiritually reach over and hit the snooze button and drift back to sleep until the next wake-up call comes. Well, Paul in Ephesians, our text today, he's talking to the church in Ephesus. And he says in chapter 5, verses 14 to 17, therefore he says, wake up, you who sleep. Rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, Paul in the book of Ephesians, in the first 3 or 4 chapters, is really addressing salvation. That's what he's talking about, leading up to chapters 4s and 5s and further on. He's addressing salvation. You wake up, you see what sin is doing to you. You wake up and you see the effects of sin on your life, life without Christ, and you walk away from it. That's what salvation is. It is repentance and it's turning from what I was doing that was contrary to what God has for me. It's turning my back to that, and it is living differently, thinking differently, functioning differently, and in those things we become more and more like Christ. That's what salvation is. And because of Jesus and the song, you know, the song we sung earlier about the cross, because of the cross, we can do that. We're not bound to be the person we used to be. We once were blind, but now we see. We once were lost, but now we're found. And so because of Jesus, we can turn our back. There is not a chain that can hold you, not a thing that can bind you, not a thing that can keep you when Christ has set you free. And so we spiritually come to life. We wake up from a blind sleep, and Christ leads us into this new awareness. Christ leads us into wisdom. Christ leads us. The scripture says we're a new creation, or some translations say a new creature. You see, because we need wisdom to live the life that Christ has called us to live. And so Paul, in the first three chapters, is addressing how to live the Christian life. And Paul, when he's given this message, you've got to understand, Paul's not talking to the lost. Paul's not talking to people who don't know Christ. He's talking to a church in Ephesus. He's talking to good old church folk. And this is his message to them. This is what he's saying. Wake up, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You see, the challenge of awakening for all of us is to be stirred in our faith. I want to disrupt it. I want to shake it a little bit. I don't want it to be so comfortable. I don't want it to be so easy. We've got to wake up, and that's what it is, for us to be stirred in our faith, to wake up in the areas that God has been speaking to us in, and to step out in those things. And if you're at a place that you don't know what Christ is saying to you or what Christ wants you to do, that is an area of your life that you may be sleeping in. I want to say that again. One of my favorite questions to ask people is simply this. Now, everyone's going to be afraid to meet with me. So what is God saying to you? I love to ask that question. What is God saying to you? Because it's about right now in the moment. And friends, I'm going to tell you something. If we have to stop, what, 2 years ago, I had this thing. You know, I think God, 2 years. Listen, there may be areas of our lives that we're asleep in. We can be consistent to church. We can be consistent giving. We can be consistent in Sunday school. We can be consistent in small groups and have parts of our lives that really love Jesus and have parts of our lives that we are flat, dead, unconscious, sleeping in. So, is there an area, or there may be an area in your life that you have closed your eyes to and you have simply drifted away from being spiritually present? And again, Paul's talking to believers. He isn't talking to people who are spiritually dead, and yet he tells them to arise from the dead. Well, what if Paul is talking about is the dead areas of our lives? Areas that seem dead to change. Well, I've always been this way, and I'll always be this way. Well, this is just the way that I am. This situation's not going to change, Pastor. I was online last night with somebody. They said, there's no hope in my situation. And I said, there's always hope. But we have areas of our life that we look at, and we might look at it and say, you know what, that's never going to change, so I'm not going to put energy or effort or heart or anything into it because it just is the way it is. And maybe God this morning is saying, get up, you dead. Arise from your dead. Stop saying something's impossible when all things are possible with God. We've bought into a lie. We've bought into this idea that things don't change, and yet God says everything can change. What about areas of our life that are just dead to hope, financially, relationally? I've given up hoping in because it's always been like this, Pastor. What if that's what Paul's talking to this church about? Arise from your sleep. Wake up, you who are dead. And certainly sin is a part of this. You can't escape around that. And am I saying that there are people who consistently come to church who sin? Yeah. I don't think that's a shocker to anybody. Look at your neighbor. It's probably them. Did they look guilty when I said that? Huh? Did they like look and, you know, I don't know. Listen, just because you and I have given our hearts to Jesus doesn't mean we're perfect. We're not. You know what I find most of the time? Is that when we take a step with Christ, it's new and it's awakening and it's awesome and he does something inside and then we work it to the outside. And I've seen people have a moment with Christ that was awesome and powerful and genuine, and then they walk from that, and then it takes time, and God, just as only God can do, just begins to work in their life. And we call this process a process of sanctification, where we are becoming like Jesus. Now, we've all seen situations where someone gives their heart to the Lord and they had, you know, addictions and they had all this different stuff, and just in a moment, it's all gone. They have no desire. And I thank God for that. I praise God for that. I think that's a miracle moment. But for most people, that's not the experience. The experience is I'm giving my life to Christ, and then Christ begins to work on me. All of a sudden, I got saved, and I'm walking. You know what? I don't want to cuss like I used to cuss. And maybe, you know what? I'm nicer to people. You know, this thing slowly begin to change, and as we walk this out, this process of sanctification, we become more like Him. So there are parts of our lives that can still be given to sin that are influenced by and impacted by sin, and sin always lulls us to sleep. And the thing about sin that you've got to understand is this: sin never grows healthy. Any area of our life that we have not given fully to God, that the enemy still has impact and influence and he works in, is never going to lead us healthy. It just isn't going to do it. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. They're wonderful. No. Pastor, you don't understand. It doesn't hurt anyone else. Nope. I don't buy it. Sin never grows healthy. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. James 1:15, these desires give birth to sinful action, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Rise from the dead. Awaken, you who sleep. Rise from the dead. Don't stay in that. Don't stay in that lie. That thing that is a generic of something that you desire authentically in your life. Don't settle for the generic. Arise means to originate. God says, why settle for the generic when you can have the authentic in me? And I don't care what the issue is. I don't care what the need is. It comes down to a desire in our life that God can fill. So come out. Get up. Come into your true being and originate. Well, how do we do that? Because Christ will give you light. Light to see those things. In the light is clarity. Those things in the light are visible. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And I love that. It attacks both things. It touches on both things. You look at the Ten Commandments. Half of them are about our relationship with God, and the other half of them are about our relationship with each other. And He says, when you step into the light, and not just step into the light, but begin to live in the light as God is in the light, you're going to have what? You're going to have health here, and we're going to have health there. I'm going to be able to see here. I'm going to be able to see who's genuine and who's authentic and who really loves the Lord. And who are people that I should have in my life, and who are people I shouldn't have in my life? And I can have this. What are the things that God is saying to me? Because not everything somebody comes up and tells you is from God is from God. Can I say that again? Not everything somebody comes up to you and tells you is from God is from God. But when I'm in the light, when that comes in, I can judge it according to the Word, and I can see, is this right? Is this good? Do I receive this? Or do I let this pass to the side? And we need to live in the light. Ephesians 5:15 says this, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Look at the three words, see, walk, and wise. Listen, this is about paying attention to the way that you live your life. Your conduct, because it matters. You've got to watch where you're going or you're going to fall down. If I would have had time, and I didn't think I was going to, I went online, I went on YouTube, and I typed in, walking texting fails. Can I encourage you all, go home and do this. Listen, every year there are tens of thousands of injuries that are reported in ERs all across the nation because people are walking and texting. And they do the dumbest stuff when they're doing it. There's people walking out off the sidewalk into oncoming traffic. There's people walking into poles. I mean, just walking into poles, folks. Like, I don't even feel compassion when I see it. I just think, you're an idiot. That's what I think. There was this woman's walking, and she literally trips and falls into a fountain in a mall. She's just and all of a sudden, she goes in the water. And it's absurd. But the thing is this, if you don't watch where you're walking, you're going to fall down. It's unbelievable. You've got to watch this. And if you don't watch the way you're going to walk, you're going to fall down. And maybe you've even seen this spiritually. Something happens in somebody's life, and God has a moment, and something goes on, and they just have this awakening. They have this moment where they open their eyes and their life, and they step into the light a little bit, but then they stay right there. Pastor, I got baptized. It's awesome. I celebrate that. But then nothing really changes. They don't follow through. They took a step, but not start a journey. They don't walk through the discipleship and determine to grow in their faith, and so it doesn't really go anywhere. And that's not waking up, folks. That's kind of like, you ever had those moments where in the middle of the night you wake up and you just flip your pillow to the cool side? And then you just go back to sleep? It's spiritually that. Often folks like that become frustrated. Because Christianity didn't work for me, Pastor. I tried it. It just wasn't for me. Listen, it takes focus to walk in faith. It takes focus to walk in faith. In Matthew 14, Jesus sent the disciples out in the boat, and they're out there, and this horrendous storm comes in, and it was so bad that Jesus actually comes to the disciples walking on the water. And I'll tell you how big their faith was. Their faith was so big that then we looked up and saw Jesus walking on the water towards them. They thought it was the death angel coming to get them. They were scared to death. They thought it was over. They thought nothing good is coming from this. I see the death angel. We in trouble. But then they realize Jesus speaks to them. He calls to them, and Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to get out of the boat and come to you. And Jesus says, all right, yeah, come on. And what does he do? He gets out. And I love it. It says, when he focused on Jesus, he walked on the water towards him, but he was distracted by the wind and the waves. And when he took his eyes off of Jesus, when he stopped focusing on Jesus, he began to sink and he began to struggle. If we don't pay attention to the way that we walk, we will fall down. And it's important that we understand that. So wake up and be spiritually present in your life. Paul even used the word circumspectly. The basic meaning of that in the Latin is this: to look around, to be aware. Look what's going on. Look what you're doing. Look what's around you. Look what the people around you are doing. Be aware. Don't fall asleep to what is happening. Circumspect is careful to consider all circumstances and all possibilities or all consequences. Think of it like this. Circle and inspect. Circumspect. To be aware and look around at what is happening inside of your circle and your influence. Because if you want to live wisely, we need to live spiritually aware and spiritually present. Does this make any sense? I'm just getting a lot of little puppy dog look. To be awake in our faith and in our service and following Jesus, look around for the approach of temptation. Scripture says we're to flee temptation, but if you don't see it coming, it's on you before you know it. When I'm looking, when I'm watching, I can get out of there. I don't have to put myself in a situation that I might stumble and I might fall in that. I can flee this. Look at the attitudes of your heart and be aware of what you feel and why you feel it. Look at what is influencing you, what we watch and what we listen to. And I know people all the time, well, Pastor, that's just crazy. That doesn't make any sense. The music I listen to, the movies I watch, the people I hang around, that doesn't really influence me. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. If that's true, why do companies spend millions and millions and millions of dollars for a 30-second commercial in a Super Bowl? Because it does make a difference. And it does impact us. Look who we listen to. Who is part of shaping your life and how are they influencing you? Look at your spiritual disciplines, your faithfulness to service, your giving, your prayer. Look at how you use your time and your finances. Be aware of your life. Walk with your eyes open. Be aware, be present, be wise. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. See, wise living is a healthy combination of many kinds of good choices, and consistently repeat that. Make good choices and then make more good choices and then make more good choices. That's wise living. First and foremost, to accept Jesus as your Savior. Begin to get into the Word and obey the Word. Be baptized. Begin to grow through the discipleship of the Word, making good choices and doing them consistently. Listen, how different would your life be, even if we don't look at where we are right now, but look in your past. How good would it have been, how different would it have been had you made some different choices relationally? Would your life be different? How different would your life been if you'd made different decisions financially? How different would your life have been if you had made good choices about how to handle pain and disappointment? Make good choices about your time, what you fill it with, who you fill it with, and what you do with it. And if that's true of us standing here and looking back, don't you think it's true of us standing here and looking forward? Make good choices. Our time is a big thing, and it's a gift from God, and we need to use it faithfully. John Maxwell says this: if you take life more slowly than your energy level is capable of, you become lazy. If you continually run at a pace faster than you're capable of, you can burn out. You need to find balance. You see, to live spiritually present, we need to work. We need to understand God's will for our lives, because you can't be spiritually present and awake if you're not seeking to understand His will for your life. Ephesians 5:17 says this: therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, there's two things that are in opposition of you understanding the will of God. One is this: being unwise. Well, what does that mean? Well, that's pretty much everything that's the opposite of what we've been talking about. He's talking about not paying attention. He's talking about not guarding your heart. He's talking about not watching your attitude and always making excuses for yourself, not looking at the influences that flow into your life and flow into your heart. And the spiritual disciplines, don't worry about spiritual disciplines. Just develop a faith in your life that's convenient. That's how you live unwise. And if the opposite of unwise here is understanding, and if so, unwise is not understanding, then understanding is living wise. You see, if I seek to understand the will of God in my life, then I can live wise in my daily life. Every day you can make great decisions. Every day you can make wise decisions and be spiritually aware. And every day, even if you don't see it, you're sowing a different kind of seed into your spirit. And that seed is going to take root and bear fruit. And we become the people that God has intended us to be when my eyes are open and I'm awake and I'm spiritually present. I find that folks who have fallen asleep spiritually are often just simply people who didn't seek God's will for their life, and they just drifted off to sleep. It's not that they're horrible people. They just dozed off. You took a step and stayed. And not start the journey, to not seek, to only have a convenient spiritual walk, to not embrace God's word or prayer, or to not consistently sit under the teaching of God's word will lead you to spiritual illness. You cannot maintain good spiritual health. You cannot be wide awake spiritually when those are the habits that we form. But to seek the will of God, to have a consistent spiritual walk, to embrace the word of God in prayer and fasting, to consistently sit under the teaching of God's word leads us to spiritual health. Unwise living, wise living. One built his house upon the sand, the other built his house upon the rock. And when the storms came, one fell down and one stood strong. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine in which there is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Dissipation is the process of slowly disappearing or becoming less, being foolish. Now this verse is both literal and figurative. He's literally saying, don't go out and get drunk. That's literally what he's saying. But what I love about the Word of God is not only is it deep, but it's wide. And so what he's also saying figuratively is this: watch and be careful what you ingest. Be careful, because we're consumers by nature. We're consumers by nature, and we take things into our lives physically. We take things into our lives spiritually. We take things into our lives, emotionally. We take things into our lives in all of these different avenues. And he's saying, don't take things in that are going to cause the person that God has called you to be to slowly disappear or to be lessened, or things that are going to lead you into foolishness. That's what Paul's saying. When my spiritual senses are dulled and the person of Christ does not hold the place that he once did in my life, I may be asleep. I might even still be going to church and doing religious things, but I'm sleepwalking. And he ends with this, be filled, or I'll end with this. Paul didn't do that. Be filled with the Spirit. Galatians tells us is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So wake up. Wake up. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you do not walk circumspectly as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, and which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And is God's word for us today. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I get you to bow your heads? Listen, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? Listen, there was actually a portion of Scripture, I almost used it, I didn't, where Paul is preaching. And as he's preaching, Scripture said there was a young man who was sitting in the window, and as Paul preached, and Paul lingered on and on and on, that the young man fell asleep, fell out the window, hit the ground, died. Paul goes down, jumps on him, raises him back up again. Scripture never says the guy was a sinful, horrible person. Scripture never says that this guy just didn't care about God or didn't love God. He was just in church and he dozed off. And so here's the point is, you might be here this morning, and you know what? You're not a terrible person. No one's saying that. No one's saying that you're wrong or you're trying to, you know, skirt God at every angle and do as little as you can and get as much as you can. I'm not saying that at all. I think that we are very blessed as a church. I think there's people here that love the Lord. But even in a body of believers, of people that love the Lord, sometimes we can just spiritually doze off a little bit. Sometimes it can slip from relationship to just religion. Sometimes it can slip from walking and pursuing after Christ and just kind of slide over to check the box this week. I've just got a lot going on and I just need to, went to church, you know, put something in the plate. I went to small group. I'm good. I'm ready. I'm good. And I think what Paul is saying is, listen, don't doze off to just that kind of life. Paul is saying, wake up. Church, stop and look at where you are. Stop and look at things that maybe you've just written off as they're always going to be that way, and I'll never change, and it's never going to be different, and that is just the way it's going to be. And God would whisper today, rise up, you dead. Don't think that it can't change, because God can do anything. Don't think that just because you're here, you're fully mature in Christ. We're not. We all are on a journey. And it's a journey that we take together. And it's a journey that as we walk in the light and fellowship with each other, that we grow stronger in our relationship with Him. because we need each other. I need you, and you need me, and we all need him to spur one another on, to encourage each other, to bless one each other, and to make sure in our lives that those that are in our circle, those that are in our influence, that if we see them start drifting away, if we see them start dozing off, to wake them up. Wake up. Do you need a wake-up call today? The areas of your life that you've just kind of turned your eye from and you've just kind of set it to the side and you've left it. What is God saying to you? Because I think if you listen, you'll hear him say, wake up. Come out of death. Out of the generic and embrace the authentic that I have in you. Are you spiritually present today? Not just in church, but are you spiritually present? You see, folks, I don't want my life to be like a movie that I fell asleep in and just woke up at the end. Even if you love the ending, even if you love the ending, I don't want to wake up at the end and go, hey, the good guy won, but what happened? I want to be awake. I want to stir us. My job as a pastor is to comfort the afflicted, to afflict the comforted. So that we are awake and that we are pursuing him. And I pray that the things that we do and live and are becoming, that God will reveal to us the things that cause you or who have been called to slowly disappear or to become less. I'm going to pray that God open our eyes to those things. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to close. We're going to get you out of here. But I want to open up our altars. And I'm simply going to ask this thing, that if you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I want a wake-up call in my life. I don't want to be asleep. I don't want to doze off. I don't want to miss God. I don't want to miss opportunities. I don't want to have just resigned parts of my heart and parts of who I am to the dead list when God says, arise, O death. God says, wake up. I want to step into the light, not just a step, but I just want to take the journey with him. I want to walk with him. I want to hear him. If you ever catch me in a hallway or we're sitting in your office and you say, what is God saying to you? I want clarity there. Because I want to live a life that hears him. That I hear him through the word, and I hear him through our worship, and then I hear him in the teaching. I hear him in our small groups. I hear him in our Sunday school classes or the ministries that we provide. God's doing something, and I'm awake, and I'm spiritually present. Doesn't mean we don't go through hard things. It doesn't mean we don't go through trying things. It doesn't mean everything always works out well. Things don't always work out well. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But I tell you what, when I'm awake, I'm going to trust, and I'm going to see. And I know that God will get me through. So I'm going to pray. Worship team's going to lead a song. We're going to open up our altars just for a minute. That if you're here and you just want to say, I want to be awake this year in every area of my life, in every area of my heart, I want to be awake. I want to invite you to come.